Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's time for you to tell us who or what has made you mad. You know you've been holding in it all week. It's time for a little therapy. Release going into the weekend. Well, you have to call in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We'll have a pair of tickets to see Bill Burr at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, April 22nd. Friday night, if you're looking for something to do, a good laugh at Bridgestone Arena. But you have to participate. Alcoa has just punched another one in, probably the nail for East Nashville. 37-14, extra point pending in the fourth quarter. Still a ways to go, about 11 minutes, just under 11 minutes to go. But all Alcoa right now, extra point up and good. 38-14, Alcoa over East Nashville. Okay. Who wants to start?
I can start. I'm ready. Okay. We've had a lot of fun on the show with my pets being on the list, and so we will continue that theme. You may think, okay, what's Sawyer done now? It's actually not Sawyer this time. We're going with the cat. We're going with Rebel. He has started this new thing. He's been an indoor cat his entire life. He has never been an outdoor cat. Like, he has, like, maybe been outside one time. But for whatever reason, in the last few weeks, he has decided that he's just going to dart out the door. When I get home, I open the door, and here comes this orange streak out the door. He's never done that. I don't know what started it, where it came from, why he does it. But he's quick. Like, you got to now I have to be watching for him.
I think your cat is related to my cat. They do the same things.
Yeah, he's
my cat does the exact same
he's
thing.
He's gone through this weird.
It's a game. It's a fun game. Let me see if I can get out.
He's going through something. I don't know what it is, but he's going through something. And so this has become, you know, now I'm ready for it. So I've, you know, I
think they call each other.
Maybe.
Like, hey, did you get out yesterday?
Yeah. You did?
I almost did it.
Yeah,
I almost did it. I know, but when they leave, I'm going to get it next time.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. Because he gets right there at the corner, the bottom of the door. And so it's like.
No plan when they get out there.
No.
They get out and they're like, I'm out. Now what do I do? I don't know.
And now what? Now, so he's done this a couple of times where I can just like turn around and I go grab him and he yells at me and like I take him back in. Well, now he's taking it to another level that the game is, okay, I'm going to escape and then I'm going to make him chase me around. So finally I've gotten to where I'm like, all right, screw you. Stay out here in the cold. See how you like it. And so then it's like, you know, about 20 minutes later, you just hear at the door this meow, this scratching. Meow. I'm like, well.
Okay, game's over.
So
game's
then, over. So I've done that.
Get me back into the warm.
Change my mind.
Guys, I have messed up. That's kind of what I hear with him. But so
it's
then
cold
he,
out
he
here.
Would take a couple of days and not do it. And then he starts all over again. So because of this new game, Rebel has made the list.
You just made the list!
What do you expect from a cat named Rebel?
I know. He's living up to his name.
That's good. I'm just going to reiterate my – after I said it beforehand, and I'm going to repeat it because nobody listened. But the people on the list are the people that just – pile on and make this extreme judgment about a jersey on the first run. Relax. Let it sink in a little bit. Take your time. Maybe you might think it looks better after a while, but to just make the snap judgment and that's it and just try to be the funniest person with the biggest troll, it's such an old, tired act. Chill just a little bit. Don't sign the petition to take the jersey back and all that goofy stuff. I said it beforehand. Somebody listen. Did anybody hold back? Is like, you know what? I really am not sure about this. But Willie said, don't be that guy on the Twitter. Or did he say, screw Willie. I think they went that way.
Willie, I held back for you. I was like, you know what? I have a judgment
here. I feel
here,
so good about that.
And I want to roast it a little bit. But you know what? I want to take Willie's advice.
Okay, just let it lay for a little bit. Just let it play out. Let's see how you feel in another couple weeks. Okay? But for all the people that didn't listen to me and just tried to be the biggest troll.
You just made the list!
I would say, judging by Twitter yesterday, they didn't listen to
they,
you.
They elected They elected not to listen.
Shows you what kind of pull I have. Jeez.
I'm going to start with the obvious. Arby's is on the list for discontinuing potato cakes.
Okay.
Wait, no, that's already happened.
No, it's a repeat. But they will continue.
He said he was going to do it
every single week.
Well, that's going to get old.
Well, it'll be old until they bring back potato cakes.
Darren never hangs on to anything, so no, I mean, come on.
No crinkle fries. What a travesty. Arby's, what are you doing? You're on the list. But here's the other one. And I've now seen this happen twice in a public restroom. I don't have an issue with people who dip. It's fine by me. Whatever. It's your prerogative. It's your deal. I mean, Lord knows Mike Vrabel's got a squirrel's tail on his lip every game, every practice.
Adrian Peterson has it on the field.
Adrian Peterson has it on the field. But it's the band, you know, what do they call them? The bandits, the pouches. Right? The pouch, whatever. Okay. If that's what you want to do, the pouches. But when you're in the bathroom, okay, don't take your pouches out and throw them in the urinal. Because here's the deal. Look at the urinal. Okay. Let's all think about how the urinal works. Does it look like they're going anywhere?
No,
they're not going anywhere. You've thrown your pouches that were in your mouth, your tobacco pouches, in a urinal that isn't going to get flushed, and it's not going anywhere. So it's going to hover in there, which means you are so incredibly lazy and so disrespectful that you can't even take your tobacco pouch out and throw it in. There's usually always a trash can in the bathroom, right? Because what you do is you usually take a tissue or a cloth, right, and you dry your hands off and you throw it in a trash can. I mean, typically, most 98-99% of all bathrooms have a trash can, a place where you can dispose of something. You're so lazy, you won't even throw it in the trash can. You throw it in the urinal while you're standing up. And, oh, by the way, that means somebody else at that establishment has to dig in there and get your tobacco pouches out with their hands. So they got, or something. They have to get that out of there to throw it away. I have now seen that twice in the last like week and a half going into a public restroom. Like, how inconsiderate do you have to be and how lazy do you have to be? I don't care that you're dipping. I don't give a crap about that. But when you're done, how about you take out your pouches and throw them in the trash can? How about that? Rather than in the urinal. Like, that is, for people who choose to do that, you're so lazy to do that.
You just made the list!
Anybody ever seen that?
No.
I've seen it twice now in a week.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, all the time.
I mean, it's, golly, like, how lazy do you have to be to do that? Where do you think it's going? It's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
It's just
going
to float around in there. It's not going anywhere. It's got nowhere to go. But, hey, let's let somebody else dispose of, you know, your trash. All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead.
A couple of texters have asked some questions about the cat. Yes, he is fixed, and he's not that old. He's like 7, because somebody was like, hey, he might be trying to, you know, run out and go on. He's not that old, so I don't think it's that. I think he's just messing with me because he's named Rebel. So that's what he does.
Okay. I mean, the first one is a legitimate question.
Yeah, is it now? You know, if he was ready to go prowl.
On the prowl, right? Yeah, he's on the prowl.
No, he departed with that a long time ago. So.
Maybe a neighbor cat, you know, sending out some signals.
Yeah. Like,
Sending out the rebel signal or hey, a cat signal.
Yeah, so. He's just a jerk.
Did Catwoman have a signal?
Don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Tell us who or what has made you mad. It's that easy. Let's go to Eric to get things started.
Hey, Derek, before I get to mine, I want to agree with you wholeheartedly on yours. I used to do custodial work for Metro Schools, Belmont, and the Nashville Zoo. I've seen far worse stuff put in urinals. And,
I'm sure.
Stuff that was supposed to go in, well, let's just I'll leave it at that. You can only imagine what I'm talking about, so I won't go any further. On my list, it's got to be the Oklahoma City Thunder from last night. They got beat by the Memphis Grizzlies, 152-79. They got beat by 73 points. How in the world do you get beat by 73 points? I've seen NBA games bad where teams get beat by 30 and 40 points, but I've never seen it where, of course, that was an NBA record losing by 73 points. And what makes it far worse is that Memphis's best player, John Morant, did not play last night. That's how bad it was. It boggles my mind how anybody can lose an NBA game by 73 points without the other team's best player playing in the game last night. So Oklahoma City Thunder, you just made my list for that.
You just made the list.
Thank you, Eric. What do you think they said? By the way, did they decline any press conferences after the game? Did they speak to the media, or did they just shut the door and lock it? And try to sneak out the back way.
I wouldn't blame them on that one.
Or call Dr. Phil. Yeah, like, what are you supposed to say?
Like, there's a lot of times where, you know, with what we do, I'm the, hey, you know, win or lose. Like,
you're a pro, this is part of the job. Yeah.
But if they had done that after that, I'm like, I'll give it to you. We'll talk tomorrow.
I mean, isn't that like the equivalent? Like, what is the score of an NHL game? What's that the equivalent? Is that like 15-0? Like, what is the worst beat in NHL history?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You know, what was the most lopsided win in NHL history? Isn't that like, I don't know. It may be worse than 15. Like,
I feel like
73 points in an NBA game.
On January 23rd, 1944, the Detroit Red Wings beat the New York Rangers 15-0.
So that's obviously a different era. There was a few years ago, I think Montreal got beat 10-0. I think it was Columbus that beat them 10-0.
10-0 is not the equivalent of this. Like, it's got to be
10
way worse.
Right up there. 10-0 is right up there with 73, I think.
No.
Why not?
73 is the largest margin
10?
Ever in the history of the sport.
Yeah, I'm looking up. There's
and
a lot
without the best player.
There's a lot of, like, 11-0s.
Yeah, we've seen. I mean, it's not 10-0. That is not equivalent to 73
points. A couple of 12-0s. 13-0 back in the 70s. Toronto shut out Detroit 13-0. Edmonton beat Vancouver 13-0 in the 80s. And then 15-0 Detroit over the Rangers.
I have to believe you start at 15-0 in the NHL. And if you lose 15-0, because, you know, I mean, yes, we've talked about this on the show. Like, you know, you're professionals. Like, you know, the coach and players, it's not always going to go your way. You're going to lose. It's a long season. You got to talk. But that may be just one of the games where you just shut the door and say, you know what, we'll see you next morning skate or next practice. You know, media, we're going to take tonight off. Kind of like we did, you know, on the court. We're going to take tonight off from talking. I don't know. Like, I would love to know, did Oklahoma City actually talk last night? Did they do a press conference?
They just ran wind sprints instead.
Did they open up their locker room? Yeah. What do you say? What question do you have other than what just happened?
Yeah, I don't even know what I would ask.
I don't either.
We're taking calls?
Yeah, let's go back to I had to cough, okay? Choked up. Let's go to Greg. Greg, who or what is on your list?
Hey, gentlemen. So what's on my list happened Thursday night at the end of the third period for the Predators game. Now, we all know what happened that night. Forsberg got four goals, got the hat trick. Hats go on the ice. You know, where I sit, it's too high to throw a hat. So part of my routine is I just take it off and not wear it for the rest of the night. Then, of course, you know, the thread shop gives you that extra 30% off on hats. So I went and bought a new hat. Where I sit, there's a ledge behind me where you can put stuff that you bought while you're watching the game, and I did that as normal. As I got up to leave, put my hoodie on, I turned around, the bag was gone. So it, apparently,
it fell down, or somebody took it.
Somebody took it. I figured either while I was standing up for Cousins' goal or when I was putting my hoodie on and, you know, my eyesight was blocked, they grabbed it and took off with it. Because I found the bag that still had my receipt in it at the bottom of the section as I was leaving, completely empty. They grabbed the new hat that I had bought and the old hat that I had wore to the game. And I'm like, really?
That's weak. Just weak.
So, I hope they enjoy the hat. I hope they're allergic to the material and it causes all their hair to fall out. And they made the list.
Made the list!
Do you think you could spot your old hat?
Yes. Because I had that hat from the Cup Run, and it's a specific design that Reebok had that they don't have anymore.
So if you see somebody walking around with that, are you going to confront them? Because I would. I totally would.
I actually might do a hashtag ask Hal to see how much beer I could give him to chuck a bag full of empty beer cans at him.
That'd be good.
That might hurt a little more than me.
Yeah. That's
I'm really sorry that happened.
Come on,
people. I was so frustrated because I did like the new hat, and I'm like, I'm not being defeated. I went and bought it again. I was leaving that arena with a hat.
Wow. So. Impressive.
I know who done it because there was two people sitting next to me that I've never seen before. They looked a little shady.
Mm-hmm. People are just, what's wrong with people?
Sidebar, I got to put our former colleague Braden Gall on the list. He was challenging the whole concept of the hat trick. Like, why would you throw a hat on the ice that you... Like, he was talking about a new hat, but if it's, like, your favorite hat, like, are you coming to the rink with a hat you're willing to throw?
Do you want me to actually answer that question for you?
But, if we're going to have a hat trick, you have to have at least some people that are saying, you know what, forget it, man, it's a hat trick. I want the memorable moment. And then I'll go get another hat. It is a dilemma. But he's like, you could never do that. I've never thrown my hat.
Then don't throw your hat. Like, let people do what they want.
It's okay. Either way.
I've never done it. I've never thrown my hat because they're expensive. And
I haven't either. And I've chosen to keep mine on. Doesn't mean that I, you know, don't appreciate it. Doesn't mean I'm not caught up in the moment. It just means.
But
I
if
don't
everybody
wanna...
felt like that, nobody would ever throw a hat. Like, how did it start?
It's everybody's
prerogative. Were hats cheaper back when this started, or something?
I'm not going to hat shame anybody. I mean, it's your prerogative. If you want to do it, that's great. It looks awesome. If you don't, that's fine. I'm not going to hat shade. I'm not shame. I'm not going to tell people what to do in that moment because, you know, everybody to each his own. I haven't worn a hat to a Preds game in a long, long time, but back in the day when I did, when there's times when I would – I was at that crossroads where it happened. I'm sure it did, but I don't know if I had a hat on.
They handed out a visor one time that I was at a game and there
a
was
door
a hat.
Hat. You know, if yeah, it, it was if like you a get door. One at the door.
Yeah, and everybody
I'll,
threw
I'll
those.
Toss that. Yeah, yeah, I'll toss that. But I mean, like a hat that I'm that's mine that I've got. You know, I've got a connection to. I would say I. Probably wouldn't throw it. It's just being honest. I mean, I could lie and tell you I would, but that's not being truthful. I probably wouldn't. Is that wrong?
No. I'm just saying, if everybody did that, then there would be no tradition of the hat trick.
Right. And yeah. So,
but
you
you've never been put in that spot to make that decision. So it's real easy from where you sit. You've always been working it, so you've never gone there as a fan with a hat on. So that's pretty easy for you to say it because you've never had to make the decision.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and again, it's...
Are you saying that I wouldn't throw my hat?
No, he's not talking to you. I know who he's talking to.
No, I am talking to Willie.
Oh, I thought you were
talking to him. What do you mean? I am talking to him.
I thought you were talking to Braden.
No, I'm talking... Willie's never had a hat on. He's always been working the game. Well, I mean, you've never had to make that decision. So are you positive 100% you would always throw a hat?
I think it would be something I would always remember. I would throw the hat, yes.
You're positive 100% every time.
Now, if I'm a season ticket holder and I'm at every game and there's several hats, I don't know how many hats I'm willing to lose over the course of the season.
Why do some and not do the others? I mean, you're either all in or you're not.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, I mean, so you would do it a couple times and then you're like, hey, now I've done
it. I would participate.
Every time?
No.
So you would pick
Depends
and choose.
Depends on how many hat tricks.
What if everybody picked and chose the same games?
I thought it was pretty interesting the other
Just
night.
To use
that
your
was
example.
The first hat trick that the fans had a chance to participate in a couple of years.
I think the other night,
I would have done it.
Here's my challenge to you. Because there are some games in which ESPN Plus has it, so you'll be off. Go sit in the stands with a hat.
With a hat?
If there's a hat trick, throw the hat.
Well, he's going to do it. I mean, in an isolated deal, and we just talked about it. But over the if you were a season ticket holder year after year, you know how many games we've gone to over the years? You know how many hat tricks we've seen? Would you – I mean, are you saying you would have thrown a hat every single time? I question that.
I don't know anybody that's – done it every single time. If they
well, why pick
look, look, the lids are not cheap. Okay,
I'm just saying a certain amount of people have to do it
price,
to have
really.
The effect that you're looking for.
It's
like in Colorado,
really
it happened in Colorado. Colorado scores a lot of goals.
People
they threw a lot of hats.
Did you hear Greg? People get connected to their hats, man.
Right.
Hats mean something. It's not just the price.
All right, well, be the fun sponge, and nobody throw the hat then.
Oh, like you're not connected to hats?
I am.
Oh, exactly.
But that's got to be part of the thought process when you go to a game, too, is
what if
there's a hat trick?
Just make the choice. Like, if you want to throw the hat, throw the hat. If you don't want to throw the hat, okay. Don't throw the hat. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
What did you call it? Fun sponge? Whatever? What fun sponge?
Yeah, fun sponge.
I don't care.
I think that's
and
his
We're not going to shame me into it.
Braden was being a fun sponge on Twitter.
Okay. Because he's always a fun
sponge. Mason and I had a fun discussion on the broadcast about it,
okay.
The pluses and minuses of it. And Braden said, oh, I would never throw my hat.
And that's
I was like, okay, if everybody
okay,
said. I know, but if everybody said that, nobody would throw the hat. That's the only point I was making. Somebody's got to have the guts to do it.
You weren't expecting Darren's sass, and you got some sass. So
no, he's being a fun sponge. I think it's a fun visual effect.
Like I said, it's real easy from your seat to sit there and say it because you've never been in that spot, so you don't know.
I've never been a fan of the game.
I'm glad you're taking this hardcore stance on something you've never had to make the decision on.
It's not a hardcore. Braden's was the hardcore because he said he was never going to do it. He would never take a good hat. I'm saying that if everybody took that stance, nobody would ever throw a hat. So how did it all start? People have thrown hats for decades. It's a tradition. So somebody's got to be willing to give up a hat.
And they do it every time.
Yeah,
so
it's hard when you're in the end zone, too, with the nets up there.
Okay, other people want to put other things on the list, so let's...
Yeah, how did we get down that rabbit hole?
I don't know.
Josh.
The poor guy got his hat swiped, and he bought two other hats.
Josh, who or what is on your list?
All right, so I'm the proud owner of a Ford F-250 King Ranch, and I got a buddy... Him and his girl, they just got him a place and everything. They're moving in together, and he calls me over the weekend, and he's like, hey, man, can I borrow your truck to move a few things? And I had my kids, so I was like, yeah, it's fine. So they come pick the truck up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it runs on diesel, man. So he calls me about 2-3 hours later, and he's like, hey, man, your truck won't start. And I'm like, well, what's up? And he's like, Well, I stopped it. He said it was on the quarter tank. I stopped and put gas in it.
Oh, no.
I said, you did what? And he's like, I stopped and put gas in it, man. And it got to the edge of the parking lot, and then it started spitting and sputtering, and it died, and it won't start back. And I was like, that's because you put gas in it. So even though he's a long-term friend, and
I don't really, you know, understand why he can't read the dash because it tells you that it takes diesel fuel. But he is officially on my list, and it's going to take a few grand to get the problem fixed if I can get the problem fixed. But he has vowed since said that he'll help pay for the process, but it is one of those scenarios to where...
Help pay? No, he should pay for it.
Sometimes it is what it is, but common sense says he should pay for it, but he's going through a lot, and he just got him a place and stuff, so being the friend that I am, I'll figure it out, you know, but regardless, it's just, he is on my list this week, and he's probably on it for a couple of weeks until they figure out at the shop how long it's going to take to get it fixed, because I'm now back to driving my little car, but... You fellas have a great day, man, and just if it says diesel, put diesel in your vehicle.
You just made the list.
That is a really good tip.
I don't have a truck, but if I had a truck, I would help somebody. Like I have friends that have trucks, and I'm like, hey, I need help moving something, you know. But I would help. You would not borrow my truck without me. Like, I don't let people borrow my car. Like, come on. I Josh was being a good dude, but like for stuff like that just
Josh is a giver.
I feel bad for Josh.
Like that's your person right there, Willie. Like Josh would throw his hat. Like come on, man. He's a good friend. He's a good dude. He would throw his hat. I can just tell. Man, that's bad. I knew the minute he's like it's a diesel. I was like, oh no, oh no. Shane, who or what is on your list?
So, guys, so a few weeks ago, the show was talking about when Bullet come in to kick for the Titans, the kicking carousel. And Willie's number one big thing was that you don't just get rid of the kicker the next week and move to the next kicker. You got to give them time to get used to kicking. And it wasn't only y'all, but it was all three shows that were on board with that. Well, then our good friends, Jared and Caroline, as soon as Bullock misses two kicks the last game, the very next day they're on the radio talking about hiring every kicker in the country, getting them in and telling Bullock that he's going to start the next game, but he probably won't start after that. So they're the reason that the kicking carousel happens. So for that reason, they're on the list.
You just made the list!
One more, quickly. Rashad, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys, I don't know if it's the TV production company or the player, but when a defensive player is the beneficiary of an easy turnover, like maybe the ball got tipped at the defensive line and it's an easy interception or somebody forced a fumble and you just landed on the ball and you go and you celebrate like you did, and they don't even show like the person that caused the fumble or caused the interception, I cannot stand it that person is celebrating like they did. Maybe it's the production company just showing that person or not, but they've made my list.
That's a really interesting observation.
You just made the list!
I've been a spotter in my day for some big broadcasts, and that is something I tried to do on replays because the first thing is you want to know who recovered the ball. If you're the announcer, you want to know that, and it's much easier to figure out who's got the ball, right? The guy that's got the ball comes out of the pile. But the caller mentioned it's probably the bigger play is the person who forced the turnover. So that's a little more difficult sometimes to find out who forced it. But that's key info for any broadcast. Good observation.
All right. Yep, good stuff. All right, appreciate the participation. We'll come back. We'll talk to Alan Bell. We'll do that next. It's in the books. Alcoa defeats East Nashville. They win this 3A state title. Gary Rankin back at it again. Darren, Donnick, and Chase presented by Creation CBD. Products curated for life. Good stuff on You Just Made the List, which is always every Friday delivered by TriStar Movers with 5-star service. Let's bring in Alan Bell. We always enjoy our chats with him. Sportsline, CBS. Alan, how you doing?
Gentlemen, doing fantastic, man. Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, you know, you're always an upbeat guy, but, you know, we just let people vent. We vented to feel better. You got anything you want to – anybody you want to put on the list or something you want to put on the list just to, you know, feel a little bit better?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little balanced right now. So catch me in about 30 minutes, it might be different. But no, right now we're good.
So you didn't have Oklahoma City plus 9.5 last night against Memphis?
No, I didn't. How insane was that? I love the Grizzlies fans for chanting defense in the crowd like with 2 minutes left. That's my favorite part.
How do you explain, by the way, it didn't take long because I said, please, somebody post a picture. And I had somebody text me of someone's ticket from last night. It was their best bet. Oklahoma City plus 8.5 on, I'm trying to see, was it Pickwise? Is that the name? I have not heard. Yeah, Pickwise. It was their best bet. Oklahoma City plus 8.5.
My favorite part, is because you know that there were so many, group texts of, just any of us, just talking sports, talking, bets, picks, whatever. I bet there were so many that were like, yep, this is a lot, man, take it. Yep, Oklahoma City, yep, they're going to cover tonight. And they just got roasted in the group text, during that game, after that game. They'll never live that one down.
I can't imagine how that even happened. We know it's the largest victory ever in the NBA. But without Ja Morant, how in the world could you ever think something like that could happen at that level? That's amazing.
I know. I was trying to think of the NFL equivalent of that, and nothing made sense. You know what I mean? It would be like the Titans beating the Texans 98-6 or something. I can't even put together numbers on what that equivalent would be. It's just insane.
Yeah, we actually did the NHL one. I said, I think that's a 15-0 game at least. That's your starter. It's got to be at 15-0 or higher. That's the equivalent at the NHL level. I'm trying to think. Even, let's see, Willie, what year was it when they went to Foxborough and they just got housed?
What year was that? That was 2011 or
10-9.
Because
it was at the end of Fisher, right? It was
2009.
Yeah, 2009. They lost 59-0. That's pretty close, and I'm still not even sure if 59-0 is equivalent to 79 or 73 points in the NBA. But that's about as close as you're ever going to see it in the NFL, right? 59-0.
It's got to be. I think I like the NHL analogy more, just because 15 goals in a game, it's so absurd, but I like it like that. I would love to see that just one time.
The question I have is, did Oklahoma City actually talk to the media after the game, or do they just shut the door and say, we'll see you tomorrow?
Oh, now, you've got to just say, what do you want me to say? You just leave, right? There's nothing to say. You know what I mean? There's just nothing. I bet it was a pretty quiet evening after that, I can assume that.
So let's talk about this weekend's action. The Titans are on a bye, as we know. Conference championship games, the big ones. Any of them stand out to you of the ones we're going to be paying close attention to on Saturday?
Yeah, Georgia-Alabama. I do not see how anyone could fade Georgia at this point. Alabama by name, I get it. This is not the same Alabama team. And Georgia's played the exact same game over and over and over and over this season. Nothing has changed. And they're not going to do anything to change, their game plan going into it. What they do is they just gather points at the beginning of the game. If they got to kick three straight field goals, fine, whatever. They know that once they get up 13, 16 points, they're a black hole. It's over. So I think that, it sounds like it's going to be a great game. I think we're just going to see the exact same thing we've seen out of Georgia all year long. Also, I would say a really good bet on that game is the first quarter under 10.5, because Georgia and Kirby Smart aren't going to do anything exotic to give Alabama a chance, at an early mistake. And Alabama's not going to score touchdown and touchdown consecutively on that defense. And it's going to be a lot of running the ball. I could see that being a 3-0, maybe 0-0 first quarter.
So you like the first quarter under in that game?
Yep, 10.5, yep.
Are you surprised the line is 6.5? I thought it would flirt with – I thought it would be up over a touchdown. I thought it would be more like 8.5. Are you surprised it's 6.5?
A little bit. It's it's fascinating that, you know, last week it opened at 4, right? And then we saw it sit at 5.5 for a little while, you know, 48 hours. And then it went to 6.5, and it hasn't moved. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little surprising. But, you know, the fascinating part is that so many people are going to bet Alabama, even though Georgia has been Georgia all year long. You know, Alabama's like the Chiefs in terms of sports betting. Like, there's so many people that just bet that name. So, yeah, I'm fascinated to see what it is tomorrow morning. I don't know what the movement will be, but there will be a ton of money that comes in on that game tomorrow morning.
Hmm. Do you give any underdog of you know, Houston, Iowa, you give any of them a chance this weekend?
I'll say this. Utah's a favorite.
I meant Houston or Iowa.
You're right. That was my mistake. Look, I could see Houston playing around with this one. I mean, Cincinnati probably wins the game, but 10.5, which Cincinnati hasn't been, you know, a cover machine. You know, Iowa, the problem is Iowa just can't score that many points. Like, I could see the first half of Michigan-Iowa being pretty slow, and I could see Michigan having a hangover from the Ohio State win, right? But the problem is that Michigan is a pretty fast team, and they're playing, you know, on that fast turf in Indianapolis, that Michigan will eventually, you know, they'll probably cover this spread. But in the first half, I don't know. I really don't, to be completely honest with you. Like, I think it's Houston or bust. I think we see a pretty chalky weekend coming up.
Doesn't like the upsets is what it sounds like. Alan Bell with us. Yeah, I mean, I said Iowa maybe gives the best chance of that just because of what you just put out there, the letdown by Michigan. Last week was their Super Bowl, and you know, could there be a letdown? But they know what's on the line as well. Do you have any feel for any of the other games that are going on outside of the big championship games?
Yeah, you know, I'm interested to see Western Kentucky, okay, tonight against UTSA, because we saw Western Kentucky lose to them earlier in the year, but Western Kentucky actually played a better game. They just lost. It was just a really tight, really good game. I think Western Kentucky the last three compared to UTSA have been on an insanely much better team, right? Like, I can see Western Kentucky blowing them out tonight. Like, I think that they are that good and they can put that many points on the board. I'm also fascinated to see Oregon and Utah tonight. I mean, we just saw 2 weeks ago Utah whooped Oregon 38-7. It wasn't even close. You know, we're changing the venue here. We're playing this in Las Vegas now. It's going to be, you know, on a turf. But, everybody's, you know, kind of like rolling with Oregon here. I don't trust Oregon. Like, Utah is a physical team. They go out looking for a fight. They want to start it, and they want to end it. And that's what they've been doing. So, yeah, like, everybody's, you know, kind of putting money on Oregon here. I'm going the other way. I think Utah pretty much does exactly what they did the last time.
Looking at some NFL games, Detroit has, you know, not won a game this year, but they've kept it close. They covered on Thanksgiving. They're at home. They're playing Minnesota. Minnesota without Dalvin Cook, he's officially been ruled out. They've been very up and down. The line's 7. Would you maybe dabble on the money line with Detroit?
No, I wouldn't. I can't trust it. Like, it's just so difficult, right? Like, look, you look at Kirk Cousins. He's 7-0 straight up all time against the Detroit Lions. Now, here's a stat for you, okay? Jared Goff has played for 4 head coaches in his NFL career, all right? Sean McVay, Jeff Fisher, John Fassel, and Dan Campbell,
yeah.
Yep. He's never won a game without Sean McVay. He's 0-16-1. Never won a game. And he went to a Super Bowl with Sean McVay. He won 42 games with him, right? So I just can't trust it. And the crazy thing with Minnesota is this. Yes, Dalvin Cook is out. Dalvin Cook, heck of a running back. We're not saying he's not. I actually think the Vikings offense is better without him on the field because they don't – whenever Dalvin's out there, they try to force it way too much. And I think that offense is really built on balance and play action. So, yeah, man, like, I would love to see Detroit win. Like, I'm pulling for them every single week, but I just can't do it. Like, there's no way I can put my money on.
A game that I think is maybe one of the most intriguing of the weekend – is the Chargers headed to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Very, very important game for both teams as the Bengals are right in the mix for their division, the Chargers trying to stay alive. So what's kind of your thought on this Cincinnati laying three?
I love Cincinnati in this play. All right, you get a low number three. You get Cincinnati at home. Look, here's the problem. The Chargers are a good football team, but they can't stop the run. They have one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. And Justin Herbert hasn't been great, per se, in terms of him and his wide receivers together. A ton of drop balls. All right, so first off, Joe Mixon's had a touchdown, I believe, now in 9 straight games. He's going to run all over this Chargers defense. So they're going to have to focus on him. And Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this season in terms of passes over 25-plus yards. I think he actually is the best in the NFL in terms of those stats. I think Cincinnati probably blows them out because they're going to – well, let me ease up on blow them out. But I think Cincinnati wins this game somewhat handedly because the Chargers defense is going to be on their heels the entire game, not knowing which way to go, and the Bengals can hit you on both sides. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with the Bengals on this one.
Alan Bell is with us from CBS Sportsline talking some of the action this weekend. Alan, let's take a quick timeout. What are we going to do without the flying saucer? Chase hit me with this earlier today. I noticed Twitter.
I'm so
sorry. We got to have a moment of silence or something.
I know. I hate to see that. Flying saucers have been just a national establishment for so long. Had a ton of great times. Their pretzels in there, I think, were the best ever. Like, they were fantastic.
They're amazing.
A really cool place. Yeah, they are. A really cool place. I hate to see that. Had a lot of great memories, great times in there. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah, we got to pay our respects to them.
Okay.
I mean, this is the part about growing up that sucks, right? I mean, we lose like Rotiers and Flying Saucers. I mean, all these places that have such rich history in this market, and I don't know if it's COVID or if it's just the city's kind of outgrown them. They can't keep up with, you know, all the new establishments. I don't know, but, man, you just hate to hear places like that that have the long – like, if you've been here for a minute, you probably have a story or two in there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think what we need to do is, you know, kind of like the bars on Broadway where it's like, you know, a famous name like Jason Aldean or Dierks Bentley, one of those. Like, this is going to be like the Chase McCabe Flying Saucer, right? Like, that's what we're going to put it as. So, yeah.
He's retired, so he can't do that. He's retired. He said he's retired from –
I mean, if somebody wants to put my name on a bar, like, I'm down.
Might perk up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, Alan, we kick this around. I think this would be an interesting prop bet. Here is the prop. The number one seed in the AFC playoffs will have X amount of wins.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Fill in the blank. Right. Fill in the blank.
Yeah. So on the book, I'm setting the number, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We're looking at the remaining schedules. We're looking at the teams. It may not be as simple as it might seem on the surface.
No, it doesn't. Look, I would probably set the number at 11.5.
Yep.
Right? And you're going to have to choose over or under on that.
Yes. You're right on it. You're right on it.
I think it's 11.5 because I think you're going to see teams like the Titans, the Patriots, the Bills, the Ravens, even maybe like not the Chiefs. They lost a lot of games. But still, like, all these teams are kind of all right there, right? And we've got, you know, just a couple weeks left to kind of flesh it all out. So, yeah, I think 11.5 is probably right.
Right. That was our conversation. I said, I'm not so sure. I'm not sure 12 wins is going to be the representative of the one seed in the AFC when you look at the remaining schedule. Somebody may get there, but right now,
Let me say this. I'll tell you what. If I'm the Titans, okay, and – look, I am nowhere near intelligent enough to be a head coach or GM or anybody making even printer and computer decisions for an NFL team. But I will say this. If I were the Titans, I would look at securing the AFC South as fast as I can. All right? Whatever happens with the number one seed, it happens. My biggest goal would be securing the AFC South, getting the Week 18 against Houston, and turning that into a bye week and getting this team healthy. I think that would be my biggest goal. If the Titans could do that and earn themselves an extra bye week, rest players, everybody you need going into the playoffs, I think that would help the team more than being, you know, the number one home field advantage bet. Just my thought.
You must have, your ears must have been burning the other day because we had the same discussion because we were weighing that. How much do you go for it at the, or is it better to still try to win but hold some guys back and say to yourself, even if it costs us a slot or two or a seed, that would be worth it because it's a pretty wide open field. We feel like we could win on the road. I think that's a great dilemma for a coach.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? In this year, I don't know if home field advantage even really matters, to be completely honest with you. Like, you look at the Titans, they're honestly a better team on the road. The Patriots are a better team on the road. The Chiefs are a better team on the road. Like, it's fascinating that. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, that is a really interesting dilemma if you find yourself in that position.
How much are – I used to hear this old adage all the time in betting that a home field's worth 3 points, something like that. Do you think that's still true? Because if you look year in and year out, especially on the pro level, in the NFL in particular, it doesn't seem like the home teams have a huge advantage.
No, they don't. And I'll tell you what, we've actually done the numbers on this over the past like 3 to 4 years in the NFL. If you're a team, say like the Chiefs, where you have an immense home field advantage in terms of its cold, weather, the crowd, stadium's always like sold out, 1.8 points max. Like, that's what you're looking at. So, no, it's not that three anymore. You're 1.8 if you are the top tier. Most teams probably half a point to maybe a point.
Wow. So we need to have that in our head, more like 1.8 instead of three. Because don't you think that's always been the default number for decades, right? At least on the surface.
Yeah.
But the experts know better.
Yeah, it has. And, kind of sharp bettors have kind of hinted at this. They won't put it out there because it's obviously good data for them. But, yeah, 1.8 at max, probably average 1 point around the league.
All right, wrap up with this. Moneyline bet, Patriots, Bills. Who you taking?
Oh, Patriots. Look, they played – I'll say this. They played the exact same game 4 weeks in a row, all right? Panthers, no run game, injury. Browns, no run game, COVID. Falcons, no run game. Cordarrelle Patterson out. Titans, no run game. Everybody out. You enter one-dimensional, you lead zero-dimensional. It's been the exact same game. What do the Bills not have? They don't have a run game. All right? And really quickly, the last 4 games of the Patriots, they've outscored opponents 63-0 in the second half. 4 straight games, he's not scored a single point on them in the second half.
Are you saying take the under in the second half?
Yes. Yes.
Alan, good stuff.
I appreciate it, boys. Thank you.
Appreciate it as always. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you guys too. Thank you.
Alan Bell from Sportsline. Always good conversation with him. He was very adamant about Georgia-Alabama first quarter under. Keep that in mind. We'll see. We'll remember that. We'll come back. We'll start the final hour with Pick 6. That's next.